All right, as promised, let's talk some baseball. We're joined right now by somebody who works for, among others, the MLB Network, a man who can break down why the Upper Peninsula is part of Michigan, a friend of the program. John is going to be a part of MLB Network's broadcast of Indians and Yankees tomorrow at 7 p.m. He'll also be in Williamsport all weekend for MLB Network, covering the MLB Little League Classic between the Cubs and the Pirates on Sunday. John Morosi is my guest. John, welcome back. Good to have you. How are you?
Jim, my friend, great to be with you on a fabulous weekend of baseball. Really two special assignments. Anytime I get a chance to be at Yankee Stadium, I'm always really fortunate to be there. And then, of course, Williamsport, it is a magical place. If you've never been, you get a chance to really experience the growth of youth baseball all around the world and certainly here in the States as well.
Love it. John Morosi joining us. All right, so why don't we start with Cleveland and the Yankees. They start a series tonight, John, in the Bronx. Cleveland has dropped two straight. They're a half game out of first in the Central. But if you go back to June 2nd, Minnesota, John, had an 11.5 game lead. Everybody thought Cleveland was dead. What has happened since then?
Well, it's an amazing story, Jim, on so many levels with the Indians. And I think one of the key things is that last year's MVP candidate, Jose Ramirez, has finally started playing at least somewhat like he did last season in the first half. He has been amazing over the last 6 weeks or so. That's really helped the Indians, I think, lengthen their lineup out. Of course, they made what was at the time somewhat of a controversial trade to move Trevor Bauer, one of the more consistent pitchers in recent years, at the deadline, but already dividends there with Puig and Framber Valdez coming in, Framber Reyes, rather, to come in and really have a big offensive production for them since the deadline. So I've been impressed by the way they handle things at the deadline. And I think in general, too, their ability, I think, to remake their club on the fly. I give Terry Francona so much credit. I think Aaron Boone on the opposite side here of this game tomorrow night, he's done a great job. Of course, all the injuries there, we know that story very well with the Yankees. But the Indians, to lose Michael Brantley, to lose Cody Allen, Andrew Miller out of the bullpen, to have, of course, Corey Kluber not pitched since the end of April. Carlos Carrasco is still going through treatments for leukemia, but he hopes to come back before the end of the season. Just a remarkable amount of adversity in addition to that divisional deficit they faced there against the Twins back in the early part of June. So a remarkable turnaround right now for the Cleveland Indians.
John Morosi joining us. All right, what about the Yankees? They did take some heat, John, for not being aggressive at the trade deadline. All they've done is gone 13-2 in the month of August. What do you make of how they're playing right now?
Well, it really is interesting, and I've actually spoken to Brian Cashman, their GM, about the trade deadline and about his reaction to not being able to acquire that starter, and actually he feels very comfortable with the guys that he's got. He felt as though just the price tags were a little bit maybe excessive for his tastes at the deadline, and in general, he likes the guys that he's got in-house. He believes that Domingo Germán, who, of course, won his 16th game last night, a very encouraging start to the year for him after having that bit of 3 weeks or so on the injured list. He has come back strong now, so they like what they've seen from him. They get CC Sabathia back this weekend. James Paxton, I think, has shown some signs of coming out of it here the last couple of weeks. And certainly Sunday, Masahiro Tanaka, an amazing outing to go deep into the game. It's going to be a big test for him tomorrow night. He's really struggled, Jim, when pitching on regular rest. So to have regular rest Sunday to Friday, I think, is going to be a big test for him. Usually they try to build in the next few days for him. So, yes, they're a little concerned, maybe a little bit short looking towards October. But I think we're going to see them be very imaginative, Jim, with their pitching strategy in general. A lot of openers where needed. We'll see Chad Green start tonight. So a really interesting plan there for them. I think they don't have quite the classic rotation with the big names like Verlander and Cole and Greinke there in Houston. But I think that they're going to have to manage things creatively. But Aaron Boone, who I think many people view as being the AL Manager of the Year, certainly well-equipped to do so in September and October as well.
John Morosi joining us, breaking it all down. You mentioned the Astros, John. The Yankees did not make that big move, but the Astros certainly did. What do you make of their addition of Zach Greinke?
Well, to me, it's not even just Greinke. It's also getting Aaron Sanchez, Jim, who really, to me, looks like he has taken that advice to heart from the Astros about discarding the two-seamer and really going with the four-seamer up. That's advice that's been given before, but something about the way the Astros deliver it is very powerful. It's worked for Cole, worked for Verlander, certainly in the past. You've seen others succeed with that same methodology. So I give the Astros a lot of credit for being bold and being comfortable giving up some pretty good prospects to make that deal happen there with the Arizona Diamondbacks and bringing in Zach Greinke. So they're well set up. They do have some concerns, of course. Gerrit Cole had the hamstring issue earlier this week. We'll see how much longer he may have to be out. But I think in general, their rotation is as good as any that we're going to see, I think, among the American League clubs in the playoffs. And then, of course, you look at the National League side, and we'll see if a team like the Mets is able to squeak in there after the big moves they made to get Marcus Stroman and, of course, to keep Syndergaard and to keep Wheeler. But I think in general, the way that the Astros have handled things, Jim, you've got to like their rotation as much as any, at least on the American League side of the playoff bracket.
I mean, John, to that point, I get that. I agree with that. But could you argue that they might be the overall favorite despite a deficiency or two? Or is that still a battle with the Yankees and the Dodgers?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jim. I think to me, I like the way the Dodgers have constructed their club. And they're going to get better. It's interesting. We're now, of course, in the first year where you cannot make trades in August. And I think that that really favors the teams that have a very strong farm system. And that means the Dodgers for me. I think we'll probably see Gavin Lux here making an impact at some point. They'll be able to bring back Rich Hill, of course, from the injured list here in due time. And then they can be creative with the likes of Dustin May and where Julio Urias is pitching. So a lot of different creative things the Dodgers can do. I like their 25-man roster the best. I probably like their 40-man roster the best, which is really important, too, at this time of year. I think with the Yankees, I'm just a little bit concerned about how their rotation stacks up with their competition in the American League. I think if Tanaka can't go deep into the game early in the series, all of a sudden you start to look around if you're the Yankees and say, where do we know that we can go to get six or seven innings from a starter to reset the rest of the pitching plan? That, to me, is the concern, although certainly C.C. Sabathia, Jim, in his final season coming off the injured list this weekend, there may still be some magic left for that great left-hander.
Got a couple more moments with John Morosi, good friend of the program, joining us. Now, John, it feels like we've talked about the Red Sox a couple of times this year, and each time it's been, are they going to shake out of this funk? We're now in the middle of August. They're 17.5 back of the Yankees. They're 7.5 out of the wild card. Where are they right now as a team?
They are in a difficult spot, Jim, and I believe that they will not make the playoffs. I do not expect the defending World Series champions to repeat and even make it back to the playoffs at all. And now, all of a sudden, the Red Sox have to confront a pretty dramatic question, which is, do they trade Mookie Betts this winter? It's a staggering thought, given where they were last year. At this time, of course, Mookie was on his way to winning the MVP, and they were on their way to winning the World Series. But you look at where their payroll is right now, and the money they have spent to pitchers who have shown some underperformance or injuries this year, Chris Sale, Price, Eovaldi, of course, has really barely even pitched out of the rotation this season. They've got some concerns, Jim. And so to me, one of the easier ways to fix it, or one of the only ways to fix it, you got basically two choices. You either spend a bunch of money to bring in some veteran talent, probably through free agency, or you trade somebody on your roster that has a lot of value and bring back one or two young pitchers to put right into your rotation. And option B would say to me, Mookie Betts. And I think one team to watch there, the Atlanta Braves. Mookie, of course, is from the great city of Nashville, Tennessee. Maybe playing close to home would have appeal for him there in Atlanta for a growing team that I think is going to be really good for a long time to come and has the type of pitching prospects, Jim, I believe, to entice the Red Sox. So for me, it's always perilous to run up the defending World Series champions in mid-August, but I think I just did that, and I'm now focused on what they may have to do in the wintertime.
All right, John, so circle back to Williamsport for a minute. You're going to be there all weekend long, including coverage of the MLB Little League Classic between Chicago and Pittsburgh. What kind of an atmosphere are you expecting for that?
Jim, it's incredible. This will be my third straight year going there, and it gets better every year. I think the excitement around the Classic builds because the players now know, by that I mean the Little Leaguers, they now know it's not just going to Williamsport to play for the World Series, but it's getting a chance to meet the Major League players, interact with them. And I got to tell you, there's an awe that I have seen in the faces of the Major League players when they walk into Lamadi Stadium, which, of course, we've all seen for so many years at the Little League World Series there in Williamsport, and to see how they react. Because I'll be honest, Jim, those Major League players are fans of the Little League World Series. They're watching in the clubhouse. They're getting excited of their home region, their home countries. And it's special to see the Major League players become fans of the Little Leaguers as well. And we have seen, I think it's really a celebration of youth baseball, especially in this country. I think sometimes the overall narratives about the sport are not reflecting the reality of the youth game where it is right now. 21% increase in participation since 2015. And then, of course, even the casual participation is up more than 50% since play ball came around 4 years ago, where now baseball and softball are the most widely played sport among young people in our country. So it's really a great time to celebrate that and to mark that and to see the interaction between the young fans who now, via social media, know so much about the major leaguers and, of course, vice versa as well.
That is cool. John is going to be a part of MLB Network's broadcast of the Indians at Yankees. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. And again, in Williamsport all weekend for MLB Network, covering the MLB Little League Classic between the Cubs and the Pirates on Sunday. John, great job as always. Have a great weekend, and nice to have you back.
My pleasure, Jim. From New York to Williamsport, a great journey to celebrate the wonderful national pastime we've got here in the state.
You betcha. Great job, John. Thanks so much. Always appreciate it. John Morosi,